Amen. Thank you, choir. Wow, that's loud, isn't it? Not used to this new mic yet. Oh. But I appreciate so much those in the congregation, certainly who helped with the cost of this, and as well those who helped implement it, and as well set it up, and then go through the training as well. So we appreciate all the efforts that have gone into this, and we hope it will be, and already is, a large improvement for those, particularly for those who've had trouble hearing through the services. I also say it's great to have a traffic problem. You know, there's a lot of places that would love to have a traffic problem. I just want to say one more thing about that. As you're coming down 31 toward 181, it would be best if you would turn earlier on Old Mobile Highway to avoid that U-turn. We don't want to create other safety issues with that. So please, I know it's going to take a little bit of time to adjust to that, but just wanted to share that with you to reinforce that as we try to create the safest environment that we can. So glad to see you. So glad to be in God's house with you today. Invite us to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Some of this is a continuation of last week. We talked about walking by the Spirit. Today, we're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we are in this Pentecost season, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And the fullness of the Spirit came upon the believers on the day of Pentecost. We talked about the empowerment for witness. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And we're talking about another activity or work of the Spirit in our lives here, particularly the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer, some of you perhaps have read some of his material, author, pastor, many years ago, speaking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there's a wonderful quote that he made. It's quite a convicting quote. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Quite a convicting word by A.W. Tozer there. But he was calling the church to be more Spirit-directed. And I think Paul also, in his writing here, is sharing the need for our lives to be filled and influenced so much by the Holy Spirit that there are fruit that come out of that experience, key virtues, if you will, that we are demonstrating in our lives as a result of the Spirit's work in us. And I mentioned some things last week that bear repeating today, part of what he's talking about here, which is this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And I think we're all aware, or should be aware, of that spiritual battle that we face every day. It's an ongoing battle. And Paul says here, as he identifies it in Romans 7 and Romans 8, a parallel passage here in Galatians 5. You remember back in Romans 7, he said, whenever I go to do good, and I'm intent on doing the right things that I know God wants me to do, evil is always present there, and I end up doing the thing I do not want to do. There's always an allurement out there, a temptation, if you will, that is present, especially when we know we're in God's good grace and favor and doing God's will. Paul identifies the flesh here. And what does he mean by the flesh? And I think we need to understand that as well. The usage of the flesh here is really talking about our fallen human nature. Some would translate this in other versions to say, would read our sinful nature. In some others, it's called our carnal nature. Our sinful nature battles the spirit for control and direction in our lives. Someone has more humorously or superficially put it, it's like having Planet Fitness with a donut shop inside of it. So you encounter those fleshly desires even in the midst of the good things that you're trying to do. And in the song we just sang earlier, take away our bent to sinning. Well, there's an acknowledgement there of we have a bent toward sinning. Or another great gospel song says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Well, this is almost like a boxing match that's happening here. And in the one corner, you have the lust of the flesh, which brings about all of these negative consequences, sexual immorality, impurity, all kinds of negative behavior here, as that list suggests. And I don't think certainly that's not an exhaustive list. But in the other corner, you have the Holy Spirit bringing the opposite, which is positive emotions and characteristics and virtues in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. So as you look at those lists and may enumerate them in our minds, I was reminded of Carl Sandburg, who was an author, wrote the biography of Lincoln. He said, there is an eagle in me that wants to soar, and there's a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. So to ask, which side is winning? And I won't ask for a show of hands there this morning, but if we're honest, there's probably things on both of these lists that would be reflected in our lives. Or we would say, which one is more dominant? Which one is really controlling us might be a deeper question here. I was reminded again of a story of a police officer who pulled a driver over and asked for their license and registration. And the driver was wondering what was going on. What's wrong? I didn't run any red lights. I certainly wasn't speeding. I was watching my speedometer. And the officer said, no, you weren't. But I've been following you for a while. And he said, I saw you wave your fist at the person who swerved and driving in the left lane. And further, I observed your angry face and hand gestures as you shouted at the driver who cut you off in traffic. And then I saw you pounding the steering wheel when the traffic stopped near the bridge. And the driver asked, well, is that wrong? Is there a crime against that? And he said, no, there isn't. But I saw your bumper sticker that said, Jesus loves you and so do I. And I figured this car must be stolen. Funny but serious story. I mean, that's why some of us don't have bumper stickers on our cars. But more seriously here, is this battle is really significant. And the essence of this is because of the consequences. The consequences that are part of this. There are both immediate consequences and there are ultimate consequences. The fruit of the Holy Spirit gives witness of how we operate in the world. Witness to the Holy Spirit being in us. And I think that's certainly one of the major reasons why the Holy Spirit comes. Why the Father sent the Spirit to us. There are ultimate consequences of how we're aligned in our lives, whether to the Spirit or to our fallen nature. The scripture says clearly here, following the desires of our flesh leads to all forms of sin and that bring death and separation from God. That's what he says in verse 21. Those who live by their flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's why this battle is so important, but also the outcome of it. And why is this battle so difficult? I mean, we know the consequences, but why is it so difficult? Well, Scripture does say to us that there is pleasure in sin. That's why it's so alluring. That's why it entraps so many people. There is a certain level of pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. I love what Nancy Ann Smith put about this, talking about our feelings and affections. She says, you're responsible for what you do with your feelings, but you can't help having feelings. Feelings are. And that is true. But the first part of that is you're responsible with what you do with your feelings. A friend of mine who was wrestling at a certain stage in his life with a relationship and the road ahead and decisions that he was making and what God wanted him to do. And I think he knew what God wanted him to do, but he had strong feelings otherwise. And I wrote something down to him and said, feelings inside can't be denied, but we must decide whether they live or whether they die. I think that's the essence of what we're talking about here with being directed by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It was a mother told the story of her young daughter, 5-year-old daughter, Barbara. She had willingly disobeyed her mom, and her mother sent her to time out in her room. And after a few minutes, she went to walk in and talk to her daughter about what she had done. And the daughter was teary-eyed, remorseful, and asked a great question. Why do we do wrong things, Mommy? And her mother replied, well, sometimes the devil tells us to do wrong things, and we listen to him. But we need to listen to God instead. To which young Barbara sobbed and replied, but God doesn't talk loud enough. Wow. My friend posted this picture on social media this week. It just seemed to fit in this message today. It's a picture of Jesus with a microphone. And I thought about that and say, well, we know pictures don't talk, but certainly it symbolizes Jesus, the living Christ. And today we have a new sound system put in. I hope you're hearing better. But it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to amplify, to exalt Christ and the voice of Christ in us. It helps us hear better, to be directed in a greater way. And the consequences, back to those again, understanding these consequences, that are ultimate consequences. Romans 6:23 puts it very plainly, the wages of sin is death. And what we're noting here is living by the flesh, which produces these sins in our lives, whatever form they may take, ultimately separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is saying both of these things to us today. But also there are immediate consequences. The negative consequences and actions that come out of living out of the flesh or fallen sinful human nature causes pain and brokenness in vital relationships in life. All primary relationships are deeply impacted by the decisions that we're making in our life. It's not like let's make a deal. We know what's behind that curtain. We know what's behind that box. And the effects of these negative sins in our lives. If you envy someone, what does it bring? Hardness of feelings, a lack of trust. If you lack self-control in your life, can lead to addictions. I know that is a complicated issue, but certainly can lead to that. bring harm to yourself and to others and even those closest to you. So the immediate consequences bring separation and division in family life, in marriage, in key relationships in our lives. But the good news, the greatest news here is, and what Paul is trying to portray to us and teach us, is God has designed something much greater, something much better, something holy and healthy that brings about vital, meaningful essence of relationships and how we operate in those in our life. I think that is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit that represents godly character in us. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and enable us to become more and more and more like Christ. After all, this is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that we're talking about here. So the Spirit will always make us more like Christ. And when you think about this in your own life, and maybe your family life, extended family life, or friends, people that you know who have produced the fruit of the Spirit in their life that has touched you, generosity, someone has been very generous to you, or someone has been very patient with you when you have messed up or made mistakes, or someone has been faithful in a committed relationship where there was turmoil or struggle. They remain faithful in that and gave witness to the power and work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It's the Spirit working in us to do what we could never do on our own. In his sermons and writings, John Wesley placed particular emphasis on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he emphasized the fruit of the Holy Spirit, again, as a witness to holiness of heart and life, or the work of sanctification. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that gives evidence of God's transforming us, renewing us, and our character, again, making us more like Jesus. Another interesting thing to note here about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to be overly technical with this, but it doesn't read fruits of the Spirit. Ever notice that? Again, not to be overly technical here, but I think it is important, significant. It singularly says the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the plural fruits. Why would that be? After all, there are 9 fruit mentioned here. I believe it points to the greater reality that every believer here today, every Christian here today, should have all the fruit of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. I think that's one reason why it says the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because this is a package deal. Now, we're used to having choices and options in our lives. And if I could borrow an analogy from a natural fruit analogy. Go to the grocery store and go to the produce section. Look over the fruit that's there. And you may choose some fruit to put in your basket. I did this yesterday. I got some peaches and some strawberries. But I left the bananas and the apples on the shelf. Not necessarily that I don't like them, but that was the choice of the day right there. All of us here today might pick and choose fruit according to our tastes, or maybe what looks best on the shelf. But that's not the case with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not so much about our choosing, but it is about the work of the Holy Spirit that's already chosen. That God has already chosen that this fruit is to be developed in us. All the fruit, even ones that we may not think we have or may not be growing in our lives right now. Another reason why I think Paul says fruit of the Holy Spirit here, not fruits, is because they all are tied together with the first fruit that's mentioned here, and that is love. It's love. Love is the key because it's manifested in all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. A missionary, Kenneth Moore, put this in a wonderful poem that I think is great. He says, joy is love exalting, and peace is love at rest. Patience, love enduring in every trial and test. Gentleness, love yielding, to all that is not sin. Goodness, love, and actions that flow from Christ within. Faith is love's eyes open, the loving Christ to see. Meekness, love not fighting, but bowed at Calvary. Temperance or self-control is love in harness and under Christ's control. The Christ is love in person and love Christ in the soul. Again, we see it, all the fruit flowing through the love of God in Christ in bringing about the character of Jesus in us. Now, some of you may say, well, I'm not so sure about all of that. And I've heard many Christians say, you know, patience is not one of my virtues. And I want to say, yes, it is. Or someone may say self-control might be good for Susie, but not good for me. And I want to say, yes, it is. And you look over this list, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Again, some of you may be thinking, not sure about a couple of those fruit in my life. If I go around the sanctuary today, and if we're honest, different ones of you may be saying, well, I'm not so sure that fruit is in me. But if you are a Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, this fruit is there. Well, let me borrow another analogy from natural fruit. Fruit comes in stages of development, right? The grapes they had on the shelf yesterday were green. They weren't really mature. And I think these fruit may not be missing so much as they need development. Say green bananas. Like green bananas need to mature and ripen. It is the work of the Spirit to mature that fruit in each of us. So to the last point, how are the fruit developed in us? How can I become more gentle? How can I become more kind? How can I become more patient? How can I have more self-control? How is this fruit produced in me? I like what Robert C. Roberts says. He says, the fruit of the Spirit seems to me largely the fruit, notice what he says here, of sustained interaction with God. Just as a child picks up traits simply by dwelling in the presence of her parent, so the Christian develops tenderness, compassion, humility, forgiveness, joy, and hope through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It is simply by dwelling in the presence of God. You know the old hymn that we sing pretty regularly? Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Being in the presence of God, allowing the Holy Spirit, concentrating on the Holy Spirit for this work to be done in us. That song is true. It works. Even as the Holy Spirit is alive and dwelling in us. Paul says something else here that I want to mention before I come to this final part. He says that the death of Christ, through that death of Christ, the death of Christ and the gift of the Spirit, the fleshly desires have been mortally wounded. That's quite an incredible word. And he uses the language of crucifixion there, and he says, it's been crucified. It's been put to death by Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We believe that Christ died for our sins and he took our place when he died on Calvary. That brings about the forgiveness of our sins. But even more than that, what Paul is saying here is that he destroyed the power of sin. He put that to death when he died on the cross. And we're raised to new life through the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like D-Day in World War II. The victory was actually accomplished, but there were more battles ahead. And that's what he's talking about here. The victory has already been given to us through Jesus, that doesn't mean there's not more spiritual battles that we engage. Let's look at it another way. Pastor, author John Piper put it like this. He said, yesterday at early morning, I was in Pasadena, California, standing in the kitchen of my beloved teacher, and I was talking to his wife, Ruth. And he said, one of the things I'll never forget about her kitchen, he said, over her sink were taped four tremendous promises of God. Ruth puts them there, and she meditates on them while she's working. And he says, that's how we walk by the Spirit. That's how we overcome the flesh. Paul says it plainly here, if the Spirit occupies our minds, we will not fulfill the desires of our flesh or selfish desires. Now, in bringing this to more practical application, even personally, as a pastor and as a man, and I hope you will do the same in your own life. In the relationships of my life as a pastor and family life, I'm becoming more and more conscious of the decisions I'm making. Not that I wasn't before, but I am even more so now. Those decisions and the consequences that come out of those decisions in my family life, as a father, as a grandfather, as a husband, in my friendships, the decisions I'm making as a pastor of church, am I really being guided by the Holy Spirit? Is it really glorifying the Lord in the decisions that I'm making? And is there fruit being born out of that that would be a witness to those around me? Yes, starting right in my family, but extending out from my Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And as we come to these moments today, some of you may be losing this battle. Maybe you're missing the main ingredient, the Holy Spirit. Maybe a fresh wind of the Spirit may need to be in your life now. Or maybe, as that little girl said, Jesus isn't talking loud enough. Maybe it is that we're not listening, or maybe do not want to listen to how the Spirit may be directing us in our lives. Maybe there's some fruit missing in your life or undeveloped that needs the work of the Spirit and the concentration of the Holy Spirit in your life. Whatever your need might be today, we don't have an altar rail here, but our altar is our heart. Our heart. So in these moments, I just would invite the sacred space and time for you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. And I would say too, coming back to the picture of Jesus with the microphone, can we put that back up, guys? I don't know if we can or not, but I want to come back to that if we can. As I thought about this, it's really a powerful picture. Who has the microphone? Who has the microphone in your life? Who or what is being amplified for you, for me? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this probing word. I thank you, God, for the good news of the presence and fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for each of us today as we hear these words and the message that comes, that we truly would be people who are guided, directed by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would truly amplify Christ in our lives, and the decisions that we're making in our lives, Lord, would bring about what you desire most, positive fruit of the Spirit, impacting the lives of our family, our friends, those closest to us, Lord, to those that we meet in contact with, wherever that may be. God, I pray this the work and ministry of your Holy Spirit to be in us, guiding us, that we would truly be people who walk by the Spirit. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.